Listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids,
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. That's what happens when Marty cues up both themes. The second theme starts as soon as I'm not paying attention.
Hey, I just threw it in the playlist, man.
Yeah, another glorious start.
Yep. And so, you are?
I'm the one that messed that up. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Yeah.
Hey, Kids awesome. Comics.
Yep.
We're going to talk about comic books. Minor technical difficulty. We can't seem to save files on the new fancy computer here at the radio station, so we're playing the theme off of USB stick. Almost worked.
It did work. I just wasn't paying attention.
There you go.
And the reason I wasn't paying attention is because I was thinking about last week. So if you tuned, neither of you guys were technically here last week. Marty was hanging out in the studio, but not on board.
Yeah, I was hiding in the back here, just dying. I was just dying.
Yes, and so me and Sam were on with Shane from Black Hole Hunters Club, and we'll give him another Kickstarter plug later in the show. But one of the things that Shane really wanted to talk about was the Dark Knight Strikes Back. He wanted to talk about that with me and Sam because in our intro music, Sam. The Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung, and it was like $10 an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Shane actually both just reread Dark Knight Strikes Back so we could talk about it, and then we forgot to talk about it. So the two of us actually talked about it in the car as I was waiting to drop him off at the bus station after the show last week. We talked about it for like 20 minutes and had a very good conversation. And the main point that I'm going to bring up is that, Sam, each issue was like 50 pages. So, of course, it's $10 an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It was only three issues. And the thing's like this thick for the graphic novel.
Yeah, but even back then, 10 bucks was a lot.
But, like, you're getting almost a complete graphic novel with each issue.
Yeah,
but it's not like today where it's half ads and... $7.99 for Marvel Legacy number 1.
Because it's a big story.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I have to reread it because it's been a long time since I read it. But I seem to recall that, you know, like the first issue came out and then you waited forever for the next one, or there was like a delay and stuff and it lost momentum. So I know I never actually finished reading the whole thing.
Are you talking the new one or the old
one? No, the second one.
Oh, okay.
DK2.
Right.
But now... DK3, yeah. The exact same thing happened. Here's one issue. Here's another issue. Here's nothing for 6 months. Like, hi, we're Chapter House now. We're shipping stuff every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you just completely lose all momentum trying to read the book.
Now, did Dark Knight Returns ship fine?
As far as I remember, yes.
I mean, that was a long time before... That was
one of the very first books. DC used to come out with this this pamphlet, kind of like the DC version of previews,
mm-hmm.
And it was called DC Direct Currents.
Yeah.
The one that was advertising Dark Knight was all black and white on blue paper, if I recall correctly. And I remember because I was going to CFP Trenton to Air Cadet Camp, so I was trying to figure out, can I get a day pass to get off base, get to a comic shop and buy this? Or do I ask Art Dixon to save me a copy?
Yeah.
And it turned out that they showed up, like, you know, published date and release date is different, cover date. Mm-hmm. And it actually showed up before I left. So I'm almost positive all of them came out on time.
Yeah.
All four.
And I think, like, because, like, Shane and I were talking about how, like, Dark Knight Strikes Back, if you read it out of the, like, I guess it's a trilogy now, but if you read it just as a standalone piece, knowing what happens in the first one, but not as a direct sequel, it's a lot better. Because, like, the artwork is so much worse than Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. Like, Dark Knight Returns has some great, some really great art in it. Even with Frank Miller's style at the time, you know, there are still some, like, splash pages in there that are just incredible. And when you flip the page and you're just like, oh, like, that's, that page makes... makes that amazing. And I had actually joked with Shane that, like, you know, they should do an anniversary re-release and just, like, actually put backgrounds and stuff in the all the panels, because most of the panels are just a character.
Yeah.
Well, nothing.
I was like 16 or 17 when Dark Knight Returns came out, and it just, the very first page, like the very first page with that race car and Bruce Wayne gets out in the fire, and it just blew my mind. Like, it was just completely different from anything else I've seen before. And I had read Frank Miller's Ronin, and I was aware of his Daredevil stuff, but I hadn't read it, so I kind of knew his art style.
Yeah.
But him and Klaus Janson on inks,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, did that thing just... And then next page, and then next page, and it was just like every single page of that first comic, it was just like... mind-blowing. Like, it's been a long time since I've read something else that had that much of an impact. And I'll be honest with you, the book that has kind of blown me away like that was Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was just, every page was just something new and interesting and something kind of different, and the humor was there, and it was just blowing my mind away. Now, I'm not saying Shirtless Bear Fighter is
the Dark Knight Returns of the new millennium. Returns.
Yeah. But, like, I wasn't blown away by Watchmen, the first issue. As a whole series, it's an excellent series, and I've reread the graphic novel multiple times. Almost every year I reread it. So it is definitely an epic book. But, you know, that,
like,
first
as far
issue.
As an issue, a single yeah, issue.
Like, just to do that first issue that grabs you. That, like, when I do reviews of comics, I'm always doing the first issue, and it's always... You know, it's so tough because you got to introduce the new characters, the new concept, the world. You got to do all this stuff in a limited number of pages and make it interesting enough that somebody wants to come back for issue two. So first issues are tough.
Yeah.
They're not easy. And just Dark Knight, wow.
But, I mean, the concept now seems so obvious.
Well, yeah,
Batman is an old man.
Because, like, that book changed the comic industry. It did... absolutely changed. There's a tangible left-hand turn that comic industry did after that comic came out, in terms of, you know, how adult the stories are, the themes are, you know, how more stylistic the art can be, and you know, some people say, you know, this was the beginning of the Dark Knight, mm-hmm. right? Which not necessarily great, but it was huge. So guys that have been reading, guys and girls, sorry, that have been reading comics since 86. You know, hey, yeah, it's nothing, you know, we've seen this. But if you were reading Kurt Swan Superman and, you know, Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams Batman and all this sort of stuff, where it was more detective-y and more, you know, approachable and single-issue stories, and Justice League America, all of a sudden this thing comes in, hits you in the back of the head. Like, yeah. it just... Like, there's no way to explain it except...
yeah.
Like, it was fantastic. Like, I'm looking at this pile of comics that I brought to review. None of these would have existed. None of them would have existed without Dark Knight.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Opening the door.
Absolutely. Like, before that, Superman, you know, is Superman in the 70s? Oh, look, I have to tell Lois Lane that I lost my job as a reporter. Oh, look, Robin, we're going to fight against the Joker and his giant telephone. You know, like, I got issue 200 of Superman is a 1967 Centennial of Canada issue where a second boy from Krypton lands, but he lands in Montreal and becomes Hyperman. and he's Superman's cousin. So they meet, and it's Hyperman and Superman. Like, come on! You know, Dark Knight Returns, Joker's getting a batarang in the eye.
Yeah.
Your cars are exploding. There's this big, huge... He gets on a horse, and he mows over people.
Yeah, and, like, just going back to the art, like, that the splash page of him, like, on the horse.
Oh, it's epic!
And this, the... I don't know if it's a full page or if I think it's a full page with Superman holding the tank over his head they're like talking about like your first introduction to Superman. Like those are just pages that are etched into my memory.
Oh, when Superman's talking to Ronald Reagan. Oh, my gosh. And just the way Ronald Reagan was drawn and stuff. It was just amazing, you know, and like Carmine Infantino, right? Flash. He used to draw a very sketchy kind of angular art. Similar-ish, kind of, in the way that John Romita Sr. kind of looks like, you know, other artists of that era.
Yeah.
You could tell a difference between them, but it was kind of a house style. So Carmine used to draw a very angular art shape like that, and it never really attracted me. I always was distracting for some reason. I don't know if it was Lynn's colors, I don't know if it's Jansen's inks or Frank Miller himself, but something about that combination on those pages in that glossy stock when everything else was in newsprint and just... I don't know what else to say. Yeah. It was just so impactful.
Well, now you should read Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Well, who drew it?
I don't know.
I can't remember who drew number two.
Like, it was... It was Miller and somebody else. Lynn.
Well, Lynn. I'm trying not to mispronounce it. I think it's Lynn Vardy. Was colorist.
Were they on that one too? Chris is going to the internet.
I'm not sure. Maybe Jansen did the inks. I'm not sure. I just can't remember at all.
I don't think he was on the second one.
Like I said, I have to reread it because it's been a long time. I know I've got a trade paperback of it. Dark Knight Returns. I have the original Volume 1 trade paperback. I've got my original issues 1, 3, and 4 first printings. And I whip out that trade paperback minimum twice a year to reread it. And I don't recall ever reaching for Dark Knight 2.
Well, the thing... Okay, so, like, the thing about Dark Knight and Strikes Back... So, like, because Dark Knight is a lot smaller... Strikes Back is three issues, and it's actually a much bigger comic.
Yeah, I think there's more pages per issue, isn't there?
But
we're talking Strikes Again, right?
Yeah.
Whatever number two is called.
It's Empire Strikes Back now! Dark Knight Strikes Again. Frank Miller.
Strikes Again.
Frank Miller and Lynn Varley.
Yeah, so that's... So Lynn's the colorist. So Frank was doing
art? He must have done all that.
Really? I didn't think so. But, yeah, I'm not surprised. I am kind of. I don't know.
But, like, so some of the second and third issues to this, the comic books or whatever the series, the story, they start with, like, six pages that are all splash pages. And then after that, it's all, like, densely worded, densely packed pages. And it's because I noticed as the reread through, like, I'm like, man, there's like six pages of Superman and Wonder Woman having sex in the sky. And then the next page is just like literally full of text. They weren't texting anybody, full of text, because they had used the whole first six pages for like this impactful scene. I did quotation marks there.
Air marks.
But definitely, I think, worth a reread. If you haven't reread it in a long time.
And if you do reread it, will you read part three?
I will buy part three when it comes out in a trade paperback. And hopefully it looks exactly like number one and two do, because they're both stylistically the same on your shelf. And I like that.
Yeah, not my copy of Dark Knight Returns is, like I said, the original first print of the trade. Yeah,
because I've got that one.
Doesn't look like that at all. But I'd be surprised if I don't already have that one as well. But yeah, I just... just so unmemorable. So, excuse me. It's just unmemorable.
But like, I don't know what else to say. The first Dark Knight Returns was the Dark Knight returning. But this one is like, now you get the whole Justice League coming back. You get like Ray Palmer and Hawkman and everything. And so it's so much more of a story. Like, you get the expanded DC universe. Like, oh, what was so-and-so doing? So I feel like it's a, you know, it is definitely a sequel.
I know Green Arrow lost an arm.
He sure did. Old man Green Arrow.
Maybe he should have given his left arm a try once in a while.
I don't know what it was. The first half seemed very slow to me. But then when the break happened and then the second half came out.
Oh, is this the new series? Third series?
For some reason, the second half I just liked it so much better than the first half. And
they lost me completely. I got issue one and two. I read one. Two, I kind of skimmed, and it ended up in the bottom of my read pile. Three came out. It was in the bottom of my read pile. And then nothing. Finally, I gave up on part of my read pile that I hadn't read, and I just taped them shut and put them in bags, figuring, okay, the trade will come back, or I'll pull them back out when issue three comes out, or four, or whatever. And just, it's nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. The second half to me just picked the thing. I don't. Maybe it was just the storyline got faster pace. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to read it all at once. Speaking of Dark, what is it? Batman White Knight.
Did you buy that? I did not. No, but I.
White Knight. I haven't. That? I read the previews and stuff, and I definitely want to pick it up. So if there's still some kicking around the comic book store, I will pick.
There
that
is
up,
at but... Grey Guardian.
Oh yeah.
So I stopped into Grey Guardian there, and I was having a chat with Sam, and he pointed them out on the shelf, and I heard that they had just expanded the story from six issues to seven, and I just, you know, spur of the moment said, crap, why not? So I picked it up. I haven't read it yet, but the art inside looked great. I can't remember what the name of the fellow is, but he did Chrononauts. Do you remember Chrononauts? Mm-hmm. That was really good. So he did this one, and he did The Wake.
The Wake, yeah.
That was another series that was really weird. Where even the writer, I can't remember who wrote that.
Wasn't it Snyder?
Maybe. No. I'm brain farting really bad.
I'm just seeing a cover with The Wake.
Yeah, but whatever the writer was, he was saying that from issue one to issue whatever, three or four, the story completely changed in his mind what he wanted to do.
Oh.
So the first couple of issues aren't really all that relevant to the rest of it. And it again lost a bit of steam for me, but so I picked it up. Haven't read it yet. I want to read it, and it looks pretty promising.
Yeah,
looks
like the concept looks really good, right? So like Batman's the bad guy and the Joker's the good guy.
Yeah, kind in
of
theory.
Loosely throw it out there. So yeah, I definitely want to check that one out.
Yeah. So in keeping with my my current trend, that's another limited series. I came to Grey Guardian to give a try. And, my Ragman showed up this week, and Metal showed up, and a bunch of other things. So,
yeah.
It seems positive.
So let's talk Metal.
Okay.
I am enjoying what I am reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. Like, it's basically, to me, it's just Elseworld Batmans getting together for some reason and doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. But for some reason, I don't know how we got here. I don't know if it's my memory. I have to go back and maybe read issue one. I don't, like, how did we get...
Yeah, you have to read The Forge and The Casting.
Yeah, I read those.
And, I think, you know, we're really suffering by it not being a little bit more coherent and coming out.
Yeah.
Like, but if you read those, it'll get there.
They're going around collecting certain metals or things.
Yeah, the gist of it is, spoilers, of course, Nth Metal... That's the metal that Hawkman used to fly and stuff like this. Apparently, it's like some kind of a preeminent force in the universe.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the other forces were, but it's almost like they're trying to do like an Infinity Stone thing, where these are the different elements in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Batman gets infected with Batmantium or something like
that. Yeah,
that
kind of almost lost me
what?
There.
What? And that's one of the elements, and I'm like, what? And then, of course, some... you know, enormous space-time rift opens up and all these alternative versions of Batman show up. And in each one of those alternative versions of Batman, because I've read a few of them, Batman in that universe needed some other superhero's powers to defend the world.
Yeah.
So in one, he takes the Flash's powers, and he becomes like this Dark Knight Batman Flash character. Yeah. In another one, he takes Cyborg's powers.
Yeah.
So he becomes this robot cyborg. Yeah. And these guys are all coming and creeping into this universe and trying to fight. In the meantime, Batman in our universe is running around behind the Justice League's back trying to figure out what this Batmantium thing is and this nth metal crap, and it's just like blah 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 blah.
He's got the
it's a bit convoluted.
He's got yeah. He's
was
got,
it all just an excuse to make like Batman Flash action figures?
Yeah, it's just
you should see some of the Batman characters. They're awesome.
Yeah, it's just literally an excuse to introduce a whole bunch of Elseworlds characters, stir up the pot a little bit, and then when we're done, I don't know, is Batman a superhero now? Like a powered metahuman? Is he now infected by nth metal? And
that would literally be the worst thing to happen to Batman ever.
Yeah, I know there was some talk about it, but...
The whole point is that he's just a human with gadgets.
Yeah. That's right. But I seriously think that that's another one of these series that would be better read all at once.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's just some books, like Walking Dead, for example. I used to read Walking Dead through trade paperback. I have no idea how you guys are reading that on a monthly basis, because so little happens in an issue that now you got to wait 30 days for the next one. Now, fortunately...
Or just not pick your comics up for 2 months and have three waiting for you.
Yeah, and then have three and waiting for you. But fortunately, you know, Image is coming out on a regular, like Walking Dead's coming out on a regular basis, so you have that. And I'm enjoying that tremendously with the issues that are coming out twice a month, like X-Men Gold and Superman and stuff. It's fresh in my mind what's happening. I'm looking at some of the stuff that I got last month, and I'm like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So does that mean I'm reading too many titles, or they're coming out infrequently enough? Or so, yeah, it's just another excuse to go for the trade. Kevin on the interwebs, on the book face, he's a trade reader, and he grabbed Dark Knight 3 as a trade and read it all in one sitting, and he said it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because they had they had little mini comics inside of it, so they probably just put them at the back.
I would assume so. Yeah. And the mini comics were just like one was about the Atom in that universe and stuff. Yeah. So I'm assuming that those are included. Yeah. You know, as in between the chapters and stuff. So I'm going to give it another try. We'll see how it goes.
Did you guys read Legacy?
Yes.
I did.
How the heck did Wolverine get out of that statue?
Well, that's part of the mystery. You'll find out.
Well, the way they drew it, it looks like he
burst out.
Himself.
It looks like he was birthed.
He certainly didn't cut his way out, because he can't do that. Anyways.
Why can't he?
Because if he's still, you can't move, right?
Like, why not?
Oh, anyways. I knew we'd get into this debate.
He melted inside, right? So in theory, he was a little goopy and primordial and... fetus-like, and
maybe
as he was regenerating and he popped his tiny little embryo claws. Chink, chink.
Chink, chink, chink.
Probably Superboy was punching the walls of reality.
Right. There you go.
And
but you knew it was going to happen, that he was going to get out of there. I mean, like, Magneto pulls all of his adamantium out of his skeleton. Why couldn't he pull all the adamantium off the shroud right then and there?
There was ways to get out, for sure.
Like, so you knew it was going to happen. I really liked the segment in Legacy with Odin and Phoenix. Like, say what you will about Marvel, that whole Thor stuff that's been going on, and that's Jason Aaron, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, Thor's been really solid since he's been writing them. And Straczynski did a decent job before him, too, when they revitalized Thor, don't get me wrong. But it's been pretty solid, and that whole segment was really cool. I'm assuming those are some kind of 1 million years ago Avengers that I don't know anything about that he met there.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the comic was just like, oh, hey, this is what's going to happen in Falcon. Oh, hey, this is what we're going to do in Guardians. And,
like, that's what one of the review. Actually, you know what? To be honest, I don't think I finished the comic book.
I only skimmed through it for the Wolverine stuff.
I think I read the first half and then had to come to the show last week and didn't pick it up.
Yeah. No, I read the whole thing, but that's what it was. It was basically, you know, oh, okay, you guys wanted Legacy? Here's Legacy. We're going to give you some Legacy here, and this is how it's going to happen. And, you know, and here's the Captain Marvel, and here's this, and here's that, and this is... So shut up. We're giving you your Legacy.
Here's your characters back. Now
here's
shut
your
it.
Characters back.
Shut Buy the comics hole. And stop asking questions.
You guys sound like me when I see Marvel people complaining about the Netflix shows.
Yeah.
You have TV shows based on your characters. Be quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy it.
So yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Are you going
to
read any Legacy?
What is Legacy? I'm completely in the dark. Like, is this
to be honest with you, it's nothing. It was exactly just this one shot. It's exactly the same as DC Rebirth, where we're not getting rid of the New 52. It still exists. We're not rebooting, but we're going to change some of the editorial direction, and the characters are going to be there. So
and
you
the
take
numbering.
A look at. Yeah, and the numbering and stuff. Like, that's just trade dress. I don't care about that much. But if you take a look at, like, Falcon was Captain America for a bit. Well, now he's not Captain America. Now he's the Falcon again. And so he's going to have a book called Falcon. Yeah. So that's the legacy part. We're bringing him back. I attacked my microphone. We're bringing him back. He's not going to be Captain America anymore. He's going to be the Falcon. So he's back to his legacy status. But, you know, this is what's going to go on in his title. But nothing's changed really dramatically for the character. It's not like he grew a third eye. It's not like he's now Puerto Rican. It's not like he's, you know, a girl all of a sudden. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, same thing. Nothing's happening with Captain Marvel.
I grabbed a few of the lenticular covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because, like, I liked what they looked like. I didn't even realize what books they were. Because I grabbed the one that was Giant Size X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at home when I read it, it's Spirits of Vengeance.
Yeah.
Right? Johnny Blaze. Ah, Johnny Blaze is back. Woo! Right?
Is he really?
Apparently.
I don't know. I saw the guy, what's his name?
Robbie Reyes?
Yeah, I saw
Blaze
him in there.
Blaze is in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It'll be what it is. Like, obviously, Jean Grey is coming back with this resurrection thing, which I found out is a weekly series coming out. So, issue one is in this previews, and the next previews, they're going to tell you, oh, by the way, issue two's the next week, issue three, issue four, issue five.
Do we know who she is, what she is?
It's supposed to be Jean Grey coming back.
Like, so her body out of the grave.
Yeah, exactly. How the mechanics of it happens, I don't know. I mean, how did Wolverine get out of his adamantium shell that he should have been able to get out of anyways? You know? So they're going to bring her back. So I'm assuming at some point in time, X-Men Gold is going to turn into Uncanny X-Men with the old numbering, and X-Men Blue is going to turn into X-Men or X-Factor, whichever one they decide to choose and cheat with the numbers like they do. And, it's just like Rebirth. We're not throwing everything out, but we're going to try to fix things, and we're going to try to jigger things a little
tweaking
bit. Tweak
here
and shove here, poke there, and, you know, stab you in the eyeball here, and... So we'll see how it goes. Like, I looked at Falcon, wasn't really interested in it because it was at Grey Guardian. There was, what's that guy's name? Ramage, the guy with the American flag on his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was in it more than Falcon was.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I think the book's called Falcon. Let's have Falcon in it.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things, like, I got so many other books that I need to read, limited comic budget. If Marvel is the only comic universe in the planet, all the other comic companies folded, I'm sure I'd find some great books to read.
Yeah.
But I got a full slate of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try out Marvel 2-in-1. That one is on my list. X-Men Gold was off my list. Now it's back on my list. So we're going to give that a try. But that really, I don't know, were you reading Gold? That title kind of up and down.
Yeah.
Like in terms of quality and stuff. So hopefully it gets better. But
yeah. Blue, I'm still getting because of the Arthur Adams cover, but I still read them, but they're hard to get through.
Yeah.
The artwork is just. But I'm excited that Mojo's back.
Like
crossover.
So. Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, again, crossovers. I freaking hate crossovers.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's just forcing you to buy a title that you don't want, or it interrupts the storyline and you waste 2 months worth of books because it's not really part of anything.
Yeah.
Like, money that I could have spent on that instead should have went to Lady of Wrath.
Yeah.
How do you have a copy of that? Did you get that at Fan Expo?
Yeah, I did.
Oliver was selling them. And I believe the writer was selling them on the other side of the...
Yeah, I got mine from Oliver, and then I turned around the corner, and there was Austin trying to sell me some, and I'm like, hey, I already got it. And I pulled out to prove it to him. He's like, oh, cool, okay.
You want me to sign it? Martin's like, no!
Yeah, no,
touch my comic.
Keep your grubby, inky hands off my comic.
I supported the Kickstarter, but because I missed that Fan Expo, there was just so much going on, and I was only there for the one day, and I saw, I think, Austin selling them, and I was like, man, I got to stop and get this. Yeah. And then I'm on the train home, and I'm like, oh, I didn't get it. Oh, no.
Well, with your Kickstarter, you're going to get a copy, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
like, okay. They launched the Kickstarter after Fan Expo.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Really? Or it was on during Fan Expo. I don't know.
That's right. I got the comic first, and then I saw the Kickstarter. I'm like, wait a sec, I think I own this.
You're one of those people.
Yeah.
Who has the book before I do, and I backed the Kickstarter.
Oh, God. Do we have...
No, we don't have to do this.
We should.
No.
Oh, I'm all mad.
So,
oh my cheese.
So earlier, I'm going to segue here. So earlier you mentioned a comic where Superman's cousin also got off of Krypton and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Action Comics.
Yes. I am not reading it, but I'm following it enough to know what's going on.
So we know who Mr. Oz is.
We know who Mr. Oz is finally. The big mysterious Mr. Oz.
And it's going to be a spoiler.
Who's Mr. Oz?
Jor-El.
Okay.
Superman's Jor-El.
Superman's dad.
Superman's
also
dad.
Somehow.
Who is Mr. Oz in the comic book? Like what's...
If you were following Rebirth and stuff like that, you see that there was this mysterious cloaked figure that looks like there was a lot of we know that Dr. Manhattan's involved.
Yes.
And it looks like Dr. Manhattan is the one that went in and created and screwed up New 52 in the first place. You know, it's his magical blue hand that went in and did things.
I don't think it was his hand.
Well, yeah, exactly. But then there's also this mysteriously cloaked figure. Like when New 52, it was Pandora. Remember the girl? She was like the cloaked figure, and it was all mysterious. And everyone was like, "Who's that? Who's that?" Oh, I bet you it's Pariah from Crisis,
nowhere.
And that went nowhere. Yeah. So there's this cloaked figure again, and it looks like he's doing stuff. And everyone's thinking that that's Dr. Manhattan. And then it was like, "No, it's not Dr. Manhattan. That's Ozymandias."
Yeah. From Watchmen.
From the Watchmen. Yeah.
He kidnapped Tim Drake.
Yeah, exactly. So he's in the cloaked, you know, mysterious figure, and everyone thought that he was Ozymandias. From Watchmen. And it turns out it wasn't. It's Jor-El. Now, what I don't know, because I'm not following Action Comics, like I'm not reading it, is this like pre-Crisis Jor-El? Is this post-Crisis Jor-El? Is this pre-Flashpoint Jor-El? Post-Flashpoint Jor-El?
I got off the planet the same time you did, son, but I landed at a different... I landed in, like, a third world country. And...
Yeah. Like, I notice he's got, like, some damage and stuff from fire or whatever and things like this. So he's... It's going to be one of those, you know, it's either going to be... Oh, I sent you that planet to take over because you'd be so super powerful and you're wasting it by being such a nice guy. Or it's going to be, oh, I sent you that planet by accident. You should have gone to this other planet instead. So that's one of the two things it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
So,
but why kidnap Tim Drake?
I don't know
why
the details.
Do the other stuff, right? So he's up to something.
I know that right now in Detective, future Tim Drake is talking to present Tim Drake. And future Batman's there, and there's some kind of weirdness going on. And,
okay, I'm behind on that one.
Yeah, so, like, because I'm reading Superman and Batman, not Detective in Action, so I'm kind of following what's going on, but I don't know the exact details.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, time trippy, travel. I'm sure Mephisto's going to show up at some point in time and go, everybody forgets.
That's right.
You know, and they'll wake up, and they won't be married anymore. And, you know, Batman won't be married to Superman, and it'll be a crisis of... Of conscious, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Anything else that you guys are looking at in the previews, getting you all excited?
I stay away from previews, but...
I don't understand that.
I know you don't.
I don't get that. I mean, how do you know what you want to read?
I just stick with the current titles I'm reading. I know it's weird.
But you don't. You buy, like, all sorts of weird stuff and stuff at the day of and...
Yeah.
I finally sold that Gwenpool Gwenny thingy.
Oh, yeah.
Which one was this?
Well, you know,
is this
like,
the
first
Chris phones me on the, if there's any copies of this, pick it up. It's hot.
Okay.
And sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. The one time I listened, it was that Joker and Harley Quinn cover by Lee, what was it? And I bought two copies of that. They're still out at the barn. They're still unsold. Nobody wanted them.
Let's go back a little bit. Somebody was in Montreal at a conference.
Yeah, so...
And he messaged me saying, there's a copy of this Gwenpool on... I said, oh, can you grab me one? And he said, well, there's only one.
Yeah.
And he took it. I did not say, oh, man, grab it. He just took it himself. Now,
But again, so this is the, what is it, Spider-Gwen 25? Or
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Spider-Gwen.
The new Spider-Gwen issue.
Spider-Gwen latest issue where Venom takes over Spider-Gwen and she becomes, it's the first Spider-Gwen Venom. But apparently it's not because in Foom number 6, there was an appearance as an advertisement that was then followed up by an appearance in Marvel Age 26. Give me a break.
Yeah. That was the second appearance in Cameo.
Yeah, exactly. In Cameo, not costume.
Well, I walked in the prototype. Guardian last week and one copy in the shelf, so I grabbed it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I was going to give you the copy I had until you said you got that one at Grey Guardian. So I put it on eBay.
Well, I bought 40 copies.
That's right.
You know, better be hot.
I put it on eBay, Canada only, $30, shipping included, didn't sell. $25, shipping included, didn't sell. $20, shipping included, and some guy from Alberta bought it. So it's in the car, all packaged up, ready to go. And, you know, after the Gemini package, after the label that I printed and the time to get...
You made 17 cents.
Maybe. Maybe. No, I'd say maybe $7. But, you know, it's such a pain in the butt to eke out $7 of profit. It's just crazy.
Like, unless you're selling 100 things at the same time for $7 of profit.
Exactly. Unless you're doing it often. But for me to earn $7 chasing a speculator comic, the two copies of that, Suicide Squad that's at the barn, that was my $7 of profit right there. They're still sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, and they cost me $6.50 a piece.
That's really the thing. Okay, so like every speculator out there has not made any money.
None.
They have made money on one title that they'll brag about, but they don't tell you about the 400 other comics they have sitting around that they can't sell for cover price.
Like, you know how I'm like, oh, Gwenpool. Yes. Nobody wanted Gwenpool. Okay, I turned around, I sold that Gwenpool for a decent amount of money. And then there was a Rick and Morty cover, which I sold for $40, which is now going for $250.
It's crazy.
Right? It's just nuts. But I have literally a stack of 32 four-color cover and comic boxer and all those other variants sitting there that nobody wants.
Yep.
Nobody. So, yeah, I made a little bit of money on that comic book and on that comic book, but that just paid for all the junk that I got.
It reminds me of... See, this is my... I buy things like that, too, but I never sell them.
Yeah.
So, like, I bought two copies of the Spider-Gwen Venom thing, just in case. Because, like, I'm like, you know what? If I spend $4 today and in a year it becomes something again and it's worth $20, that's a profit. But I'm still not going to sell it because I don't ever sell comics.
Well,
but it's like, it reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Homer gets stock in pumpkins and doesn't sell before Halloween and then wonders why his stock's worthless.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what speculating really is.
Exactly. It's gambling. That's all it is. Hey, look, the slot machine paid out this week, but hadn't for a month.
But yeah, how many quarters did you just waste? So you made $7 this week, but you lost it on a whole bunch of other
sales. It is what it is.
Sales. Yeah.
I'm trying to find an article I found last week. I know there's hundreds of articles, but talking about the comic crash in the 90s and what caused it.
Well, that's the thing. We lived through that, and we saw exactly what happened. And I hate to say it, it's happening again, only amplified, because back then, Wizard was the hype machine. This book is hot. And Wizard came out once a month and told you what books were hot. We are finding out through the internet 2 minutes after midnight on Wednesday, like Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, exactly what everyone's going ape nuts over.
Yeah.
So people are running to the comic shop and buying these off the shelf. And then casual readers are walking in. There's nothing there because it's already gone. And then, you know, like... Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Yeah.
How many people grab multiple copies of number one and have it hidden away because they figure, oh, this is going to be the next Walking Dead number one and stuff like this. They don't have copies of two. They don't have copies of three. They just have a big stack of copies of number one. Well, the casual reader who might have been interested in the whole series and might have bought 2, 3, and 4 and whatever, I can't remember how many titles there are, 5 and 6, like how many issues, they didn't buy it because they couldn't get a copy number one.
I had to go to Big B in Hamilton to get a copy.
You know, now granted, the publishers then come out with like a second print or stuff, or you can get it through trade paperback. So Jim Zub published a really cool article about one of his books, Wayward, from Image. Yeah. And he kind of broke down exactly how that book and where it's making money. Like, he didn't give you specific details, but he gave you kind of like percentages of how much money it's making, how much it isn't. And the single floppies are losing money right now. He's not making any money from the single issues, but then he turns around and when it comes out as a trade, he's got such decent sales and trades that's making up for the basically the advertising that is being generated by having the floppies on the shelf. So same thing happens, right? Like, I don't know. It just seems ridiculous. Now, that raises the blood pressure a little bit, but this other nonsense that's going on, oh my good Lord, like today, oh, I'm going to take the Savior's name in vain here, but what the flying spaghetti monster is going on here with these kids? Yep. What is it, Marvel Age 42, I think it is. There's a photo cover with a black and white photo of Stan Lee on it. There's people on eBay asking $500 for this comic.
Really? I got that. I better put it up there.
Like, one guy, the one issue that I posted is already bid up to $80 Canadian.
Jeez, I better find that.
You know, and nobody can tell me why. Like, everybody's on the Facebook group saying, why is this important? Is it like, and everyone's like, well, it's the first appearance of Stan Lee in comics. I'm like, no, it isn't. And everybody else is like, no. And some other is, well, it's the first photo cover of Stan Lee. And then everybody's like, so? Like, do you know something? Is he dying? Why is this now the hot key book this week to like, even the speculators can't come up with a reason.
Yeah.
Because I said so?
You know? Oh, incredible, totally incredible Hulk, number 22. It's first Weapon H Wolverine Hulk clone. And then it's like, no, actually, there was a Wolverine and an Elseworlds type issue that had, like, Hulked out and no. It's not that one. It's this one. It just give me a break. Just buy comics to read them.
But and what was the first appearance of Vampire Wolverine you were talking about?
Yeah, somebody wanted to know, like on the Facebook page, what's the first appearance of Vampire Wolverine? I'm like, what are you flipping talking about?
Yeah, what? it's
must have been an Excalibur issue because didn't they go all vampire-y in Excalibur once?
No, it was. The group, the Exiles.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyways, it's just...
Oh, no, I'm like, thinking Hulk again.
Do you think that this... We may have said this at some other point in time, but, like, do you think it's because of slabbing at CGC?
Well,
like,
it is for
because
sure.
They've been giving, like, names to all these things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And
whereas before,
CGC,
you wouldn't care.
Aliens, right? Aliens, yeah. Number 1 from Dark Horse, came out first. Then there's a Dark Horse Presents that had the origin of Aliens. And somebody at CGC, now say what you will about CGC, the problem is that they're good at grading, but they're not necessarily comic book historians. Yeah. And you can teach somebody how to grade, but you can't teach somebody in a short period of time the nuances of history, right? So they don't have a huge quantity of people there that are reading or have been reading comics for a long time. You look on their staff pages, everybody's younger than I am. So somebody thought, oh, Dark Horse Presents, origin story of Aliens, that must be the first appearance of Aliens. So they put on the label, first appearance of Aliens in comic books. Okay, no. First appearance of Aliens in comic books was from Heavy Metal with Walter Simonson drawing it. It was a graphic novel that came out. Movie adaptation of the film. Well, that doesn't count because that wasn't comic books. Okay, that wasn't comic books. So how about Dark Horse's Aliens number 1 that came out months before the Dark Horse Presents did? Well, CGC says that's not the one. So somebody sent CGC an email, and CGC came back and said, no, we actually did make a mistake. We've made an adjustment. So Aliens from Dark Horse is the first appearance. No, forget about that graphic novel that came out earlier. That doesn't count because that's a graphic novel. It's not a comic book. It's Aliens number 1 from Dark Horse Presents. It's the first appearance of Aliens, not the graphic novel that came out 5, 6, 7 years earlier. And we fixed it, but there's all these speculators that have the wrong label on their book.
And because it's been labeled for years.
Because it's been labeled for years. So they just perpetuate this myth, right? So then somebody comes out with New Mutants. When was the first appearance of New Mutants? Well, it's the New Mutants graphic novel. Wait a sec. Hold. Sweet flying spaghetti monster, hold on. The Aliens graphic novel doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
But the New Mutants graphic novel counts. Like, what's going on here? There's no consistency. None whatsoever. And then somebody else is like, well, actually, New Mutants were in a Foom issue or something like that. Or they were in Amazing Heroes, which was a trade magazine at the time.
Oh, were they?
So New Mutants' first appearance is in Amazing Heroes. No, that's a trade magazine. That's not a comic book. Like, when we were kids, yes, there was first appearances in some of the comic magazines. Didn't count. We didn't care. It was black and white. It was a magazine. It wasn't a comic book. Didn't count. Nobody cared. So what was the first appearance in a comic book? Color. Came out monthly. That's what counted. Nowadays, everybody's like, oh, well, here's this ad in a Foom. This is a, you know, Amazing Heroes was a trade publication, like a magazine type talking about the comic books. So there's New Mutants in there. So that's the first appearance of New Mutants. So is everybody going to start slabbing their previews now? Because previews comes out 3 months ahead of time and shows you exactly the cover and everything. So your new character came out in previews first.
Yeah. Well, I've got the three issues that had the ad with Wolverine in it before.
Yeah, exactly.
181, so.
Wolverine, well, one was a Thor issue, right?
Yeah.
Thor, so there's two pictures of Wolverine in the advertisement. It says Wolverine. The two pictures are full body pictures of Wolverine. It says, look out for Wolverine coming in Incredible Hulk 181. Well, if the advertisement in Amazing Heroes counts for New Mutants, then that advertisement sure as hell should count.
Yeah. So I found the article I was looking for.
Yeah.
15 reasons why the comic book industry crashed in the 90s. I'll pick out a few of them here. Number 13, the speculators.
But like, so what was, because I wasn't around collecting comics in the 90s. So what was speculation in the 90s like?
In the early 90s. There was, okay, this is the first issue of Black Panther. Black Panther, number one. Here you go. Spider-Man, number one. Right? Yes, Amazing Fantasy 15 was a little bit different. Action Comics, number one. Detective Comics, you know, 27. It was pretty cut and dry. Here's the character. The character has lasted for 20 years. And here's the first time he was in a comic book. And that's what you went after, right? Mm-hmm. You went after Superman number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then all of a sudden, you know, Marvel started doing this thing in the 70s where they started that whole cameo thing. It was a great, Stan just loved to kind of give you a little bit of a hint at the end of the issue to make you come for the next issue. So there was all these, like Mary Jane Watson, right? First it's the back of her head, then it's like in the shadow, then it's in a speech bubble, and it's like, oh, who is this mysterious character? And then finally you see her, and she says, hey, face it, Tiger, right? And people got a bit confused, and I'm like, it's not confusing. Hulk 180, 181, 182. Buy all three.
Yeah.
They're not that expensive. Well, 180 and 183 compared to 182 compared to 181 isn't that expensive. You can afford Hulk 181. You can afford 180 and 182, get the complete storyline. That's what we did. We bought storylines. You know, Wizard, you read the snot out of Wizard just like you do previews. And when you were done, you put it on your shelf. And every so often, you'd pull it back out and reread it. Nobody bought Wizard thinking, oh, I got to get this thing slabbed. I got to get this thing sealed in Mylar. This is going to be collectible. And, you know, Marvel Age, nobody collected Marvel Age. A lot of people read Marvel Age. You know, and then all of a sudden, this nonsense happened. Death of Superman. You got people that, honest to gosh, thought that they would be able to put their kids through college, and you had, like, stock market people and coin collectors and hockey card collectors and baseball card collectors walking into comic shops for the first time saying, can I have a case of the Death of Spider-Man, of Superman issue?
Yeah.
You know? And comic shops to this day will tell you, you'll never believe how many people came in with the polybagged version of Todd McFarlane Spider-Man thinking that it was worth a few hundred bucks, you know?
Yeah.
So that was speculating back then. You know, Spawn number one came out, millions of copies sold. Youngblood came out, millions of copies sold. And that stuff's just sitting around,
yeah,
doing nothing.
I think I have 10 copies of Youngblood that I got, like somebody threw them in with some other stuff.
Now, if you take a look at Youngblood number one, right? And then take a look at Spawn number one and Wildcats number one. Which of those three titles is still being published? Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
So which one of those two, three, those three series actually has some value to issue number one? Spawn. It's the longevity of it. If you don't have the longevity, it doesn't matter. So everybody's all hot and excited about Gwenpool and Spider-Gwen and all this stuff. It's a small two-year fad. What's going to be like 10 years from now? Is anyone going to care 10 years from now? You know?
So, well, let me just quickly go through some of these. So 13 was Speculators.
No more talking. But
12 was new number ones. So tell me what's the difference between then and now, right?
Exactly.
Number 12 is new number ones. Number 11, shake up the status quo. Okay. Number 10, variants. Number 9 is related, hollow foil covers.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 8 says artists were rock stars. I guess they kind of were talking about the ones that split off and went to Image and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Shocking story gimmicks.
Yeah, exactly. Death of Superman, perfect example.
Yeah. Unprecedented media attention.
Yeah.
That was the 90s.
Yeah.
Now, it's like 100 times worse.
Yeah, because of the movies, right? The success in the movies and the pop culture.
Yeah.
When Batman in 1989 came out, Zellers in Eaton's in Peterborough was the only place you could buy a Batman t-shirt, and they had two. Now go out and buy a Batman t-shirt.
Yeah. Now this one I don't know. Number 5, too many publishers.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but
you remember,
compared to now though.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like if you remember, like, now we've got DC, Marvel, Image, Boom. Like, there's a few that produce a lot.
Yeah.
Then there's a huge back catalog and previews of guys that are, you know, combined, they're less than 1% of the industry. Back then, you had Eclipse, you had Epic, you had Malibu started up around that time-ish, Image, DC, Marvel, and you had all those black and white guys that were coming out with comics, First Comics, Innovation. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch.
So it doesn't seem to be as bad now. I mean, you've got Aftershock and Image and different publishers.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where, like, I think it's not necessarily too many publishers. It's too many issues. Like, what was that statistic a few shows ago? Marvel produced 100 separate titles a month, and DC was 80 separate titles a month. Yeah. 180 comics. There was a time where you could be the guy that bought every single Marvel comic that came out and the DC guy that bought every single DC comic that came out. You can't do that now.
No.
Who the heck can afford, like, $3.99 comic without our discounts and all that stuff is $6.60 at Gotham Central if you don't have an account and stuff like this. If you have an account, you get a bit of discount, blah, 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 blah. So that's $660 every month. Just to get every single Marvel comic that came out.
Yeah. And I hear there's this one guy on Facebook that apparently buys two copies of every Spider-Man issue that comes out or something.
I think his initials are like D.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems crazy.
Not like the guy with the initials MB who buys 3 to 4 copies of every Captain Canuck.
That's right. Every copy. It's pretty brutal.
Oh, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... There's going to be an adjustment. There just cannot not be an adjustment.
Yeah.
Digital's in the way, and comic shops are closing. You know, there's the statistic that I'm reading: one shop opened and four shops closed.
Yeah.
And there's this statistic that no, diamond accounts increased. Diamond accounts increased. Well, who got the diamond account?
Yeah.
Right? Comic Boxer got an account. Loot Crate got an account. Are those the accounts you're talking about? And who was it? Onipress? Somebody just announced that they've ditched Diamond for trade paperback distribution, and they're going with a traditional book distributor to distribute trade paperbacks. And this article from Jim Zub, if you don't have it, there's a link. I'm positive there's a link on the Peterborough Comic Book Collectors Facebook group. If not, then just send us an email or a text, and I'll get you the link. Or just go to Jim Zub's Facebook page and do a quick search. It's really eye-opening as to where exactly you can actually make money in the industry. And it's all, for him, it's all trade paperbacks. You know, he's selling more of Wayward in Chapters and Barnes and Nobles and stuff than he is elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, my kids, same way. Both my kids read, one of my kids reads a lot of comic books. All the comics that she reads are all from, like, Scholastic.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, graphic novels, and they're all being distributed at Chapters. You know, she's not buying anything that you could buy at a comic shop.
Yeah.
And they're comic books. They're full bore on graphic novels.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about anime.
Yeah.
Like the anime section at Chapters is massive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's going to be an adjustment of some kind.
I mean, I know now, like one of the reasons why I never got into trades, because in my mind, they never went up in value. But let's face it, how many comics go up in value now, right? Not, like, if you try to sell a comic collection, good luck.
No, yeah. Right? I tried to sell 7,000 comics for $7,000, buck a piece. And there were some $1,200 comics in that list.
Yeah.
Nobody was interested.
No.
Nobody.
Nope.
And nobody wanted it.
Nobody wanted it.
Oh, well. Is what it is.
Speaking of things that people do want, though, I said we'd plug Shane's Kickstarter earlier this show. Shane Heron and his Kickstarter for Morris. He was on our show last week. You can check out the old Facebook page, heykidscomics.ca, whatever, to get the last week's show if you didn't hear it. And his Kickstarter is at 2/3 of the way funded, so he's a little over $5,000. Needs about $2,500 to go.
That Morris book looks fun.
It looks great.
I mean, the art is top notch. Looks great. I got a few books here, some Kickstarter stuff that I wanted to go through that we didn't get a chance to, so maybe next week. But yeah, Shane's book looks great. The concept looks hilarious. So,
I've already backed it.
I have.
I will do my best.
Yeah. Well,
Sam backed it.
Same thing. Like, the budget just isn't there. So yeah. I'm at the physical level. Give me a copy. You know, it's not the lowest level, but it's definitely not, you know, $300 to appear in the book or, you know, get the statue and stuff. But I'll get a physical copy of the book, and that's the best I can do at this point in time. But,
yeah,
you know, you do what you can.
That's right.
Every little bit counts.
Yep.
And without the physical book backers, it wouldn't get there anyways, because mm-hmm. there, you know, aren't enough sales just on the high-end stuff to get that high for a Kickstarter. So
yeah.
Well, if I ever strike it rich on the low, $649, I'll be like an angel backer again. But yeah, 2015 Marty doesn't exist anymore.
So that's all the time we got tonight. So tune in next week for some more fun comic book talk.
All right.
Listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?